You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, 4 o'clock hour, I got to tell you, got a brand new sponsor, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of medical clinics that are now all over the Birmingham area, just opened up two new locations in Chelsea and Hoover. Yeah, man, they've opened up their fifth location. They're expanding like crazy. Open 7 days a week, y'all. Extended hours at most of the locations, including weekends. That's why they're 7 days a week. And they will see clients of all ages from birth all the way up. They can do x-rays, immunizations on site. Listen, Southern Immediate Care. So I know the owner of the corporation, really, really good dude. And I'm just telling you, Southern Immediate Care, you can't go wrong. You need, especially if you need walk-in service. There you go. Southern Immediate Care. Proud to have them as a team member for Right Side Radio. All right. Hey, listen, I gotta turn to the text message, Boomer, because I'm pretty sure I have to say right now, they blew up. Nice. I saw your finger on the button. You did.
I was ready for it because you're right. They went out of control.
They did. Let me jump on a few of these. Covering multiple topics that we've gone over, because this has been accruing now. Accruing for the last 45 minutes or so. Jeremy from Huntsville. According to Johns Hopkins University, there is no surgery that can turn a man into a woman. There are only surgeries that can make men look like a woman. Agreed. Currently, there is no surgery that can make a man experience sex as a woman would experience sex. It is completely fake. Thank you, Jeremy from Huntsville, for affirming what I know. Wanda from Somerville, woke grocery store aisle number 6, Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Mm.
That woke grocery store thing was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So it had what? Aisle 1 was was chest milk. Aisle 2 was fake meat.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's
ice
cream.
And it just goes on and on and on.
It does, yeah. Okay, what else we got there?
We got Scott from Boaz. It's way down the list, but I believe talking about the liberal question that you asked McQueen and I, maybe, yeah, or one of the others. At the root of the problem is the Democrats know they can do whatever they want and push any agenda they want, and no Republican has the testicular fortitude to stand up and say, no, that's enough.
The kahunas.
Right.
Yeah. Not all of them.
Not
but,
all of them.
But yeah, but I would tend to agree. They've, like you said earlier, they've just been allowed to get away with more and more.
That, yeah, exactly.
I agree. Steve from Hartzell is brand spanking new in the text lines, and he's a Yankee transplant. He's asking for the nickname. I don't know that we're going to call him Damn Yankee all the time. I don't know that I want to say that every time. But anyway, he's got... I'm trying to figure out what he's saying here. I don't know. Anyway, glad he's in the text line. Steve, glad you're there. John from Brownsboro. What happened to the bra burners of the 60s and 70s? They would have fixed this already. I agree.
Yeah.
Out there marching for women's rights, burning their bras in the public square. Where are they right now? Sitting quiet. David from Huntsville. He says, thanks so much for explaining an honorable reason for working for working by Rainbow Drive. We were worried there for a while. No, not at all.
Brian from Huntsville. Yeah. Note, 3 days in the tomb and rising, Jesus reclaimed all our ground. It is never too late to take his hand.
Mm. Man. All right. And on like that note, let's end the day. I'm ready to go home. That's there. Nailed it. Jeff from Indiana texted in and says, hey, Phil, my dogs identify as humans, or at least they think they are. I think I'm going to claim them as dependents on my next tax return. Just whatever, everything goes, man. Nothing's out of whack. Trina from Elkmont, I find it disgusting to see parents take young children to these shows where the drag queens are dressed like Disney characters and sweet little animals and then gyrate in front of them. I would agree. And that did happen, by the way, most recently in, was that Shelby County? I've forgotten which, but yeah. What?
JT from Lacey Springs?
Yeah.
Today's administration is filled with high-volume speeches making promises and mandates without any authority to do so. In other words, jackassery. End of quote. Biden would say. Biden would say it.
He would. He does that all the time. He's reading the teleprompter, and he'll be squinting. You can see, he's like, get that. Like, he's mad. He's squinting at the teleprompter, trying to read it. And then he goes, end of quote. And he's like, thank you, donkey. Yeah, good job, donkey. Becky from Shelby County. Phil, did you know that Riley Gaines is the daughter of Rowdy Gaines? I did not know that. It makes sense, though. Rowdy Gaines, yeah, the NCAA championship swimmer from Auburn University, War Eagle. Thank you very much. John from Huntsville, by the way. Wolverine Dan, if you're still listening, John from Huntsville says, Wolverine Dan gets an A-plus for his perfect impersonation of Joe Biden. Sounded just like him, he said. What else we got here? Brad from Limestone County. Oh, yeah. He says to Wolverine Dan, it's because they're not and never were interested in equal rights and just getting along with you. He says, there are a crowd of sodomites outside of Lot's house, and they will not stop until they dominate you. That's their goal. It always has been. And yeah, okay, there you go. I got a caller on the line. I will do that real quick. Line one, Brian Decatur, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Your last segment, you were speaking about how the Democrats push things. You were almost there by saying, hey, they go three steps, we stand up, they go back a step, you know, blah, blah. That's almost there.
Okay.
The Democrats push 100% for an agenda. Let's say pedophiles, okay? The people with moral standards, conservatives, Christians, stand up and fight back. Now, they get it back to 50%, and the Democrats back down. Victory for all the moral people. All right, the next 2 or 3 years down the road or the next administration, they push the same thing 100%. Everyone stands up, pushes it back to 50%, moral victory. Then the Democrats are over in the corner, hallelujah, we've got it, 100% of what we wanted.
Yeah.
The problem is the people of moral values, the Christians, conservatives, or even conservative Democrats that fight against this, they don't know how to fight. It's like UFC fighting. You have a fighter that knocks a fighter down, knocks him out, or almost out, and then he just stands there thinking, ah, moral victory. The fighter gets back up and starts fighting again, and it's over and over and over. These guys have got to fight until this crap is destroyed,
until it's stopped. That's a great...
Not to 50%,
yeah.
But to 0%.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Point.
Brian, great call, man, and you're spot on. You're right. And when they go 50, when they go for 100 and they keep 50, but the next time they go for another 100 and keep 50, you're so right. At that point, they gained their original 100, and
there's no way to fix it.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
You have a great day. Let me get a few more of these texts. I'm just going to wind up doing this whole first section just on text and audience participation. I love that we have a show, by the way. How many people are in this texting string? Close to 1,000, right?
Yeah, close to 1,000.
Oh,
we're getting
gosh.
There.
Oh, wow. All right. Where else we got here? Marcus from Huntsville. He says, I hate to bring this up, but it's sad. Reality is the majority of these children that are being trafficked are actually white. Okay. I don't know why that matters. But so when people talk about slavery, these trafficked children and women are in every sense of the word slaves, and the majority of them are white. I don't know that that's true, but I mean, I don't know why it would matter. But the reality is they're still kids. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what color they are. They are still the most precious among us, and they are, you know, in actual need of protection because they're considered to be defenseless. Anyway, all right, Allie from Athens, Boomer. I'll give you one word: why the left is not getting behind Sound of Freedom. How many ways can you spell busted?
Yep.
John from Madison. If I drove a Chevy Silverado and I changed all the emblems of the bumpers to make it look like a Dodge Ram, would that make it a Dodge Ram? The answer to that would be no, it would not. Patrick from Decatur, it's brand spanking new in the... No, he's not. Okay, he gave us his name.
Yeah.
He says there's supposedly a surgery that can turn a woman into a man called... I don't know what that says. I don't even want to go that far. So I'm not even sure what he's saying to me. But thank you so much for the text, Patrick. I guess I better read them before I... I was like halfway through and realized I'm not sure I was going on the air. What else? Mike from Athens. Media bias is the problem. By the way, he points out, Mike from Athens does, and I'd forgotten to say this. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the blockbuster movie that was released for July 4th that thought was going to be like the game changer was the latest Indiana Jones.
you know, with the 80-year-old Harrison Ford.
Oh yeah.
And all the media thought that was the one that was going to get the true box office grosses. Nope. Sound of Freedom outgrossed Indiana Jones.
Wow.
Yep. What else we got? Brian from Decatur, I think again, says thanks, Boomer. Have a great weekend. and then Trina from Elkbron agreed with Brian from Decatur, saying, right on, Brian from Decatur. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. It's only number two. This might be a two-dipper day. Don't judge me.
No judgment.
There's a lot of stuff here.
There's just a lot of stuff.
When we get back, it's home fries. We'll cook up a batch of home fries and keep it all going. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, we're going to go to number two of the Triple Dipper. It's time. I mean, it's only 4:20. Every once in a while, though, the content is so rich, the participation is so incredible that we cannot get through all of it, but we're going to strive to do so on a regular basis. But right now, I'm hitting number two on the Triple Dipper. It's that time when I'm resourcing the show, and I realize how much is going on right here in the hood, you know what I'm saying? Right here around our house, in our backyard. What's happening right here in Alabama? So we have to cook up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Making me hungry. All right, so I'm going to walk through some stories just to give you an idea of things that are happening around your state. Here's one that I think is just, I made this the top story for the day because I'm glad and it needed to happen. So you may remember Bibb County Deputy Sheriff Bradley Johnson. He's the one that died in the line of duty last year. A sheriff's deputy in Bibb County. He was on patrol and he was shot by a suspect who was driving a stolen car. That guy who shot him and killed him. After a 16-hour manhunt, they arrested him. His name was Austin Patrick Hall. He had actually recently been released from jail. The reason why he had gotten out was because he was given what was known as a correctional incentive they called good time. In other words, he got his sentence reduced for just basically not tearing stuff up. And by getting out early, he was on the street sooner, and he killed this sheriff's deputy, who left behind two little girls, by the way. The state of Alabama is now going to pay $1 million to those two little girls. It's the highest, a maximum amount that the state of Alabama can pay out in cases like this. I don't know much more in terms of the details of how that comes about. I'm not sure if it's like an insurance policy or a governor's discretion fund or if this was a litigation. I don't know. All I know is the state of Alabama is going to pay the maximum amount. Governor Kay Ivey announced it. So in other words, she's not feeling put out by it. She announced the state of Alabama is going to give $1 million to the little girls of that slain deputy who was only slain because a prisoner was out early when he shouldn't have been. And by the way, since that time, we've changed those laws. Legislature got involved. Senator April Weaver, who represents Bibb County, says she stands behind law enforcement and glad to do all that we can to protect them. And SB 1, the governor signed that into law earlier this year and made sure that the good time laws have been changed. So I'm glad to hear it. I'm so appreciative of the fact that the state stepped up and is doing something. And thank you, Governor Ivey. I'll call balls and strikes when I see the good. I'll call it, and that's a good right there. Here's one. So it's funny when you, funny, not funny. We were talking earlier about, you know, just even the physical presence of our president right now is not that inspiring. How he constantly loses his words or says things that make no sense. Stares at his teleprompter and says things like, end of quote. Oh, no, sir, that was not supposed to be read. He was trying to pick on Tommy Tuberville yesterday. Story on 1819 News yesterday. While delivering a speech in West Columbia, South Carolina on Thursday to tout his so-called Bidenomics, President Joe Biden appeared to take a shot at U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican from Auburn, Alabama, for boasting about the fact that Alabama is getting $1.4 billion to expand broadband. All right. Keep in mind, Tuberville voted against the bill that had the broadband initiative in it, but then Tuberville did announce he was happy that that money is coming to Alabama. So now, with Tuberville constantly making the Biden administration look like a bunch of doofuses, which is not hard to do, with Tuberville calling him out on things like the Department of Defense, you know, abortion policies and the Department of Defense's transgender policies, and holding up their nominations for generals and admirals, the president tried to call him out. And the president couldn't remember what university he'd coached at. So in the middle of trying to slam a guy, he sort of deflated his own slam. He gets up there and apparently he said, Yeah, there's a Republican senator from Alabama, a former coach of the university. Strongly opposed the bipartisan, and now he's hailing its passage. Anyway, nice try. Didn't work. And by the way, here's the thing Tuberville's office put out. Yeah, he voted against that bill. You know why? Because it was a 42.5. Wait, no, I'm sorry. It was a $1.2 trillion piece of legislation that was so filled up with pork that it was objectionable on a variety of levels. Some of the things he did support that were in it were things like the broadband access bill that was merged in. But there was a ton of stuff in that, and he did the responsible thing. He said, if you're going to pork it up, I got to vote no. After it passed, he was glad to see broadband money was coming to Alabama. And... And the president tried to dig on him, and it just did not work. Another little piece here of home fries. So our own Congressman Robert Aderholt, who was on the show with us last Friday. Congressman Robert Aderholt is the dean of Alabama's U.S. delegation, meaning he's the senior most person among all of our congressmen and women. He's having nothing for the Biden administration with regards to Space Command. He came out and said, this is nothing but abortion politics. Alabama, so AL.com has a story. Alabama U.S. Representative Robert Aderholt accused President Biden yesterday of disregarding states' rights, the sanctity of life, and playing politics with a reported plan to stop the U.S. Space Command's move to Huntsville simply because of Alabama's abortion laws. Writing a piece in the Hill magazine, Washington news site, Aderholt said moving the headquarters to Alabama will not only sustain national security, it'll enhance it. And he went on to say that not doing so poses an unnecessary and heightened national security threat, and it begs the question, what is holding the administration back if Huntsville ranked clearly as the best location based on conditions of merit and national security? Well, the only answer appears to be politics, abortion politics. That's our senior congressman, Robert Aderholt. And by the way, he's got a position of clout. He is one of the senior most ranking members of the House Appropriations Committee. In other words, the power of the purse sometimes comes through him. So let's don't screw around with Space Command anymore, Mr. President. Let's get that decision made, and then we'll see how well you like it with Republicans being in charge of the purse. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. I got some more home fries. What's happening with that alligator in Huntsville? Yeah, we'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. That's some ground right there. Proud of it. Lots of listeners in that area. Hey, I got to tell you guys, folks, listen, if you hear the advertising playing during the breaks, just know this. Right Side Radio is a separate standalone business. We're not owned by the radio stations you might be listening to us on. We run our own business, and part of the way that we earn the right to be on the air is by selling advertising to sustain the revenue needed to run the business. So, yeah, if you listen to the show and you're like, man, those guys got it going on. I want my business aligned with them. We would love to have you. We'd love to talk to you. Here's how you do it. You don't call the station. You contact us, and you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab, and then just send us a message, and we will jump right on it, man. We would love to get you in the hopper as a team member with Right Side. All right. Hey, listen, I got tons of text messages that I'm going to go to for a second, and then I'll go back to home fries. Before I do that, I do have a caller. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian from Huntsville. How you doing?
Doing okay. I missed part of your little broadcast on the, large broadcast, on the gentleman, or no, I retake that, the male who committed murder because he got out of jail too soon.
Yeah.
And the children needed needed that money for the long run. So I can't call him a man, but what is his status now? Is he alive or is he deceased?
You talking about the deputy or are you talking about the shooter?
The shooter.
Now the shooter was captured and just a few weeks ago, the indictment came down. He has been indicted, and is soon to be tried for murder. And so yes, they did catch him. And he should be looking at life, if not the death penalty.
Well, I hope he comes to God because I'm sorry for that kind of thing. For me, I got to choose the death penalty every time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is just it. I don't know how to describe it. It's not like any one life is more precious than another, but something about the fact that this guy was a young deputy serving his community who left behind two little girls just makes it even feel bigger, especially when you consider the guy should not have been on the street in the first place.
Oh yeah. And, I'll need to look up at any type of page they have to, help out for those girls.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody else has texted in, a brand new texter, Michelle from the Free State of Winston. You know about the Free State of Winston? We got to look that up. It's actually pretty cool. The Free State of Winston. But yeah, I think that's where the Looney's Tavern is. But anyway, the Free State of Winston. We're glad to have you in with us, Michelle. She's asking, where do I get the video you spoke of earlier about the Pride Day choir singing about coming after children? That should be shown to parents everywhere. Okay, we had two. There was one from 2021. You need to Google San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. It's what they call themselves, the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. And they were singing a song about coming after your children. And then the other one you may be talking about is separate. It was this year. So the first one was 2021. The second one was this year, just a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, in a pride parade in New York City. Gay activists were marching, and their march and their chant was, "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your kids." And that video, by the way, is a part of a new Ron DeSantis ad. He's got a piece of that playing in his new campaign ad, which you can find on social media everywhere, or I'm imagining you can probably go to Ron DeSantis' campaign page to see it. So anyway, that's where you're going to find both of those, Michelle from the Free State of Winston. Mike from Rainbow City, and by the way, put her in as Michelle from the Free State of Winston. All right. Mike from Rainbow City, his autocorrect's giving him grief, but, he says, you guys definitely got it going on. This show is the best one. Thank you to you and Boomer for what you do. And brother, we appreciate that. And by the way, he also said, Tuberville's not making them look like a bunch of doofuses. They just are. He's just pointing out the reality, I guess. What else we got here? Racing from Milani. Appreciate you, Racing. And he says, yeah, how many made in USA jackets, shoes, and purses can we make from that Alabama Gator? So, okay, I'm in Home Fries right now. Great segue, Racing. So the next article I actually had came out today on Yellowhammer News. Yesterday, actually, Yellowhammer News. By the way, my buddy Dale Jackson's been all over the story. He's incensed by it. So the city of Huntsville, it says, plans to add signs in an area where an alligator recently attacked and killed a resident's dog. So keep in mind, we do not live in the Everglades. This is not the Okefenokee Swamp. We are not even in the delta of Mobile Bay. We live in Huntsville, Alabama, you say? Yes, you do. And there's an alligator living in a pond in southeast Huntsville. And I want to say it's over near the new Grissom High School, somewhere in that area. I don't know exactly. But there's a gator living in that pond, and it's a good-sized one, like a six-footer or something. And this gator, in the presence of two children, came out of the water, grabbed their golden retriever, killed the dog, and the city of Huntsville was alerted, and the city of Huntsville's solution has been to put up a sign.
I was like, man, they're going to get it. This is going to be awesome. And then you said, putting up a sign.
You know, that's where I want to look at it and go, here's your sign. But that's perfect. Thank you very much. Here's the city's statement on this. Wildlife coexists with us throughout the city and the surrounding areas. It's important for citizens and homeowners to be aware of the types of wildlife in their particular area and notify us when they have concerns about hazards related to such animals. In this case, a citizen did notify us, and we have been working with Alabama Fish and Wildlife, which has jurisdiction over this type of animal. I got news. They say they're taking steps to make residents in the area more aware of the gators, and it says gators plural, so I don't know if there are more than one. All I know is this. You spray for mosquitoes because you want them to stop biting people. All right. The city, I guarantee if you read the city ordinances, if a dog bit somebody, most cities have very often, I know the city of Gadsden does, has a 2-bite rule. And that ordinance says if your dog is reported, you knew it, and it bites somebody else, animal control comes and gets the dog. I mean, you got, if a bear is wandering through and turning over your trash cans, city's probably going to do something about it. But for some reason, they are opposed to the idea of taking action on this gator. And their solution is to put up a sign. Beware of the alligator. How about this? Either relocate or take out the alligator. Apparently, Congressman Mo Brooks was on Dale Jackson's show, said that he and his family frequent the walking trail where that gator is quite often. He says, I use that bike and walking path where the gator killed that dog on a regular basis with little kids. He said, I'm most distressed the city of Huntsville is not being proactive as they can be about these gators. So anyway, bottom line is, I don't know what the solution really is, but I'm telling you, if I was the guy whose dog was just killed, it came out of the water and dragged the animal, your dog, back into the, killed your pet, I am pretty sure that's open season time.
Absolutely. Praise God it wasn't one of the kids.
Exactly.
You know, because if that would have happened, they would have done something then. You better believe they would have.
You think? Don't you think that kind of menaced the kids?
Oh,
don't
yeah.
Don't you think it might kind of mess them up a little bit? Like, little Johnny's got to get over the fact that he's watched Rover getting eaten by a gator. I'm not making you laugh, am I?
No. That's horrible. Poor Rover.
Rover.
I just
gator.
Like that you named it. But David from Danville, Alabama, just wrote in. He said, alligator tastes way better than fake meat.
Tastes like chicken. A little gator tail tastes like chicken. Brian from Huntsville just texted in and says, more than one gator. I walk there every... Oh, really? He just sent a picture. Yes, the sign says, beware of alligators, plural. He says there's more than one. Good Lord, really? In Huntsville? Scott from Boaz put up a gator-free zone sign. That's how they protect kids from shooters. Gun-free zone? Yeah. Good point, Scott. Aaron from Decatur. A no gators allowed sign. Works about as well as a no gun sign. All our Second Amendment folks went straight to the signs. John from Brownsboro is suggesting that you watch a movie, Boomer. Peg Leg Dave, I lived in Florida for many years, and if an alligator gets big enough to kill children and pets, he's toast immediately. And, by the way, tastes like chicken. Was that a caller for me? Was that no? Okay, good. Marcus from Huntsville. Dale Jackson's been raving for over a year about these gators. need to be feared and killed when seen, he said over a year ago. Nothing was going to be done until a child or a pet was killed by one of these things. He went on to say that he feared nothing was actually going to be done until, well, you just repeated yourself, Marcus. But then he says, when it comes to the safety of our kids, the only sign they should put up is, here lays the gator that used to live in this pond. I'm digging it. I'm liking it. I'm all good. David from Danville, alligator tastes way better than fake. But you read that one already, didn't you? Yeah. All right. Maybe they keep dropping in before I can even finish up. Devin from Brownsboro, the TVA brought the gators here to control the beaver population, LOL, supposedly. That's interesting. I shall have to find out about this. Jim from Huntsville, Phil, sounds to me like it's time for some barbecue gator. I feel a right side gathering coming on. Raven from Russellville, solution, alligator boots. I'm for it. Give me a band to go around my cowboy hat. That's right. JT from Lacey Springs, gators are quite numerous in the local waters. Sad about the dog, but the north and west have cougars, wolves, moose, and grizzlies. Yeah, but not living in your neighborhood, dude. Okay. Brian from Huntsville. He likes the Rover name. All right, I'll take one call real quick for the break. I can see I got a call coming in. Is that Chris? Chris from Madison, how you doing?
Yeah, this is Chris from Madison. I just say put a bounty on the gator's head and somebody will come find it and take care of it. And it can do it in the middle of the night and nobody will know.
I cannot help but believe you're right. And by the way, you can go gator hunting at night with a flashlight. It works. I know that from, you know, a guy told me one time.
And there is a Cajun restaurant in town.
Really?
I'm sure they would really like to have some alligator.
I'm fresh alligator.
Yeah, fresh alligator.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. All right, let's take a break. Boom, we'll come right back. I will put a lid on home fries as soon as we get back. You might want to know, this is interesting. So it looks like one of the big four mayors may actually have competition in his next run. And then what about Medicaid? You know the biggest expense we have in Alabama on our budget is Medicaid? Well, they're purging the rolls. Why? Apparently COVID's finally over. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, before we go any further, I got to tell you, my friends at ZLA Solutions, and I say that because they are indeed my friends. I know them personally. I talk to them quite often. But ZLA Solutions is one of the best around at helping you to make your business better. They got a variety of things they can do for businesses. They can help you with your sorting and containment, your logistics, your warehousing, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, they also, by the way, their bread and butter remains staffing. If you need people of any number, like you just need a few with kind of special niche, hard to find skills, or for that matter, you need, 150 people to work the factory floor with entry level skills. It doesn't matter. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions, they can help you with all that. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. And they like to say at ZLA, we don't make it. We make it better. That's their actual motto. They want you to be better to run your business. And so, yeah, they'll help you. Check them out. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Do me the favor, please, of telling them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, we're gonna do one more little batch of home fries. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. So here's one for you. I don't know if you know this. So most of y'all know I spent some time in the Alabama Senate, and one of the things that really shocked me in the budget process is, of course, we have a split budget. We're one of the only states in the nation that has split budgeting. So everything education is in one budget by itself. Everything in the world it takes to run our state otherwise is in the other budget. That other budget is called the general fund. The general fund is always woefully woefully underfunded. Now, we've had surpluses of late. Never had that in the past. Because the teachers' union in the past had gerrymandered the funding processes through their buddies in the legislature enough to where most of what we would call the growth taxes, things that go up in a good economy, all fed the education budget only. General fund, that's things like mental health, parole, prisons, Medicaid, state troopers, roads and bridges, all that is in the general fund. The general fund's Medicaid and corrections, that's prisons, those two things by themselves consume half of the general fund budget, just those two items. Now, one of the things that happened in recent years was this thing called COVID. Remember that? Yeah. Anyway, one of the crazy little nuanced things that happened during COVID was that typically what occurs is states have to do occasional purges of the Medicaid rolls, meaning there may be people who either died or, for that matter, maybe they outgrew it because they were on, CHIPS, the child's education or insurance plan, or maybe they were no longer eligible because their income has gone up and they could, they were no longer necessary. Well, during COVID, all of the purging was shut down. No one taking off Medicaid. Nobody. Can't do it. Gotta keep it just in case somebody might need their insurance because it's COVID. Well, we're finally past it. Finally. And just now, finally, in July of 2023, Alabama Daily News reports that the Alabama Medicaid Agency could remove as many as 120,000 Alabamians from the state Medicaid rolls as they begin to purge again for the first time since COVID. Y'all, that's unreal to me. That means that there are people upwards of 120,000 or more whose names are on our Medicaid roll that have perhaps did not need to be there and may have been costing us taxpayer dollars. It says the agency won't say how many people they have removed since the eligibility review began in the spring, because the federal government had prohibited states from removing people off of Medicaid, even if individuals' lives changed to where they no longer needed it. Alabama does have, it says in the article, and it's true, among the strictest Medicaid eligibility requirements in the country. For children and pregnant women to qualify, or a family of four, there has to be an earning level of $43,000 or less. That's the median family income, by the way. But in order for a caregiver of a child in Medicaid to qualify, their income has to be much less, like $5,400. Nearly 1.4 million Alabamians were eligible to receive Medicaid. What that basically means, by the way, is that something like 20 to 25% of our state population is receiving government health care. That's amazing. But it looks like they're finally about to get back to what should have already happened like a year ago, and that's to begin purging the rolls since COVID. Last one I'll tell you, we have what we call the Big Four, all right? The Big Four cities are, of course, Huntsville, Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile. They've changed in their order, but they still remain all four in the Big Four. One of those Big Four mayors is Stephen Reed of Montgomery. Super liberal. Stephen Reed of Montgomery is also, by the way, in case you don't know, he's the son of one of the biggest Democrat power brokers in the state, Joe Reed. Joe Reed made sure his son had what he needed to become mayor of Montgomery. He has finally got some competition again. So right now, as the mayoral race heats up for this summer, Montgomery businessman Barrett Gilbreth has announced his candidacy against Mayor Stephen Reed. And he says, basically, we're not going anywhere. I've got three small kids. I'd love to see Montgomery be a place where we call home one day and be proud to call home, He said, but that's not true for our family. I'd like it to be true for everybody. He says, I would love to take my kids and put them into bed at night and not hear gunfire. Worthy cause. Good luck to him. We need to take out some of those liberal mayors because it's amazing what they can do. All right, what a great show. What an amazing show. What an amazing audience. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll see you back on Monday. Have a good weekend. Talk to you then. Right Side Ruffians out.